All right, welcome to part two of our series, Miracles. And let me just highlight one thing that you just heard regarding our in our Crosspoint news regarding Easter. And that is that Easter is 2 weeks away. And so I want to encourage you to get ready for that by way of prayer. Number one, let's be praying about that, about Easter and the opportunities that affords us. And number two, invite. Having said that, let me just look right into the camera, and I want to invite all those that may be in this area, maybe here in that weekend, to come and be a part here in-house with us. And having said that, let me just say welcome right now for those that are joining us online. Aren't you glad for those that join us weekly online? Good to have you along for the ride today. And I shared this last week regarding Easter, and that's that it's a very unique Sunday in that people who normally say, no, I'm not coming to church, will come, that normally do not attend. Those that you invite who would normally say no will respond with a yes, more likely, on Easter Sunday. And so that being said, we need to make sure that we are inviting. And to do that, as you just heard, we've given you a tool to do that. So if everyone would take their worship guide out right now, and inside your worship guide, here's your worship guide. Inside that, you will find what you just saw on our Crosspoint News, an invite card. Now, we put one in there for a reason. We don't want to just you to use one. That one is there to remind you to grab more on the way out today when you leave and utilize these. And here's the way we're presenting this. These are large enough where people can't miss these, all right? So they can take these, they can put it on the refrigerator or the bathroom window, a mirror, or whatever whatever place that looks like, you know, in your car, to remind people of this event. So we want to encourage you, instead of just randomly throwing this out to wherever, we'd like you to be very intentional about it. And so we want you to encourage you to take this and hand this to somebody as a personal invitation, your guest. You're inviting them to come and be your guest on that Sunday and sit with you and meet you before church. And by the way, meet you before church means you need to beat them here. Just a little pastoral a word right there. Get here early so that we can have you here to receive the guest when they come. Amen? Hoping for a stronger amen there, but anyhow, okay, but really, I want to encourage you with that, and that is to help us get ready for company. Company's coming. Also, let me just say, for me, it's not just Easter Sunday. Next Sunday, really, to me, begins this whole thing. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and you don't want to miss next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be a tremendous Sunday. We're going to talk about the miracle of the donkey. You just got to come find out what that's all about. So you want to be here next Sunday, and then there will be Good Friday happening, and then there will be Easter Sunday. Be sure and be a part of that. I want to encourage you with that. So invite. Everybody got it? So this area, I want you to fill up this section and this section. We're going to put out extra seats. We're going to pack the house for the glory of God. Amen? Because he's worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of us celebrating his resurrection and his coming again. But he's also worthy enough for us to bring somebody to share, okay, who Christ is with them. So be sure and do that. I want to encourage you with that. So let's jump right in, if we could, to this installment of this series of miracles. And let me begin by giving you a verse I think that is can be a great theme verse for this series. It's found in Psalm 77, verse 14. I'll give it to you in the Living Bible that just kind of puts it very plainly, that says, you are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. So that's present tense. You are and you still. He is still the God of the miraculous. And I stated this last week as a declaration at the beginning of this series. I'm going to declare it again today. And that is that our God is a God who still does miracles. Somebody we've heard some different thoughts about that as to whether God still does miracles today. I want to tell you, the great physician, again, has not closed up shop. He is still in the healing business. He's still in the miracle-working business. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So you are sitting right now in a church that emphatically believes that he is a God who still does miracles. So if that's an encouragement to you, if you are a candidate, you have a situation where you need a miracle, that should be an encouragement to you. God is a God of the miraculous. Can I get an amen right there? Okay. All right. Here's another verse that encourages. Job chapter 5 and verse 9 says, he performs, that's as present tense. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. That is our God. So I got a question to ask you up front today, and that is, how many of you would love to experience a miracle? Can I see your hands? Anybody would like to would love to have a miracle in your life? Maybe you need a miracle. I think we'd all love to have or experience a miracle. There's times in our life when we desperately need a miracle, when nothing else will do. And I think God affords us opportunities in our life, and sometimes we see them as problems or challenges, but I think God sees it as opportunities. Our problems are His opportunities to demonstrate His power and to demonstrate to us His love and to demonstrate who He is to us. And so we all are confronted with those. I shared last week, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of update. I shared with you last week that Kim and I are a candidate for a miracle. How last week I shared that in the same week we both got some information from our doctors that kind of startled us and rattled us, to be quite honest with you. And I do want to bring a little bit of clarity to that. First of all, as your pastor, I would rather download my problems on people that are over me and the Lord, my fathers, you know, that are over me, and I don't want to ever bring discouragement to you. I want to be able to bring encouragement to you, and you can download your stuff on me. I kind of think that's the way that should be set up on a regular basis, but I do understand the need that when your pastor and wife are going through something that you guys would like to share in that, and that's what me and Kim discussed before last Sunday, and it was decided that we needed to share this so that you guys also can be praying for us. Not to get your pity, but to get your prayers, okay? But last Sunday, I shared a little bit about me, and I do want to bring a little bit of clarity to that, just because somebody said, and in fact, I went back and listened to the message, and I said, yeah, I think I left a few little things out that I need to clarify, because we got a great response from you guys, and I want to thank you for the overwhelming response that we got. I mean, we got calls from out of the state, and I didn't mean to kind of alarm everyone, but it was very encouraging to get your support on that. But I was informed that there was something about me that I was born with, okay? I was born this way. I was born with a bicuspid aortic valve, which means instead of having three leaflets in your valve that's supposed to operate like normal, I have two. So mine's like a fish's mouth, you know. Anyway, mine just kind of opens like, you know, and I didn't even know it, but they discovered this recently, and they said that's something we've got to keep a watch on, that I'm in that time age-wise where it can present a problem. And the word that came to me from the doctor was, it's inevitable that you're going to have that replaced. And I'm saying, inevitable? And he said, yes, it's going to happen. And I said, oh. So that kind of startled me, because I didn't understand the full brevity, you know, full weight of that. So, but I do want to clarify that it's not tomorrow. I said that last week, it's not tomorrow, but it could be 3 to 5 years, y'all, okay? So it could be 10 years. Hey, I'm trusting God. I'm a candidate for a miracle, Lord. It don't have to be at all as far as I'm concerned. But I just wanted to let you know that. That's nothing immediate, and immediately it's going to happen. Now, Kim, she also received a call from the doctor and discovered that she had a cancer in her thyroid. Now, if you're going to give somebody attention, give it to my sweet wife, because hers is immediate. In fact, they're scheduled her a surgery right after Easter, and I'm so thankful that they're able to address this just as soon as possible. They're actually going to remove her thyroid. They did say, just as a word of encouragement, they did say if you were going to have any kind of cancer, this was the kind to have. Also, hers is small. It's like 1 centimeter, and so we're thankful that they discovered that so early on that they can address that, and we're believing God's going to take care of it. So I just wanted to make sure I clarified. Did I make that clear as mud? Okay, so I wanted to make sure y'all understood that. So be praying for Kim, especially because that, you know, you get before a doctor, and they're going to tell you all the facts, because that's their job, all the risk and all that. And so, again, it's rattling. But I said all that to say, and I was just using as an example, that even at different times in your life and all of our lives, we're going to have those moments that we're rattled, that we need a miracle, that we need the hand of God to move. We know it's going to take Him, no matter how He chooses to use, we know to do that. We know that we need Him to work a miracle. I want to share with you a story that's out of the Bible now, not just our personal story, but a story that's out of the Bible that's found in John chapter 11. So there are in your worship guide are some notes that you can follow along with, and we'll have it up here on the screen for you. Let's get right into this story. because we find somebody else that needed a miracle. John chapter 11, verse 1 says that now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany and the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, first of all, let me just point out that it says that there was a man that was sick. I want to pause right there and say that every miracle begins with a problem. So, and I asked you a moment ago, how many would like to experience a miracle? But here's the thing. We want a miracle, but we just don't want a problem, right? But every miracle starts with a problem. So if you don't have a problem, we could come up here and we'll pray that God will give you a problem so that you can be a candidate for a miracle, right? No, I'm just being facetious there. But it does begin with a problem, and that's the way that works. And so it begins with a problem. But the problem, listen to this, the problem is the soil where the power of God flourishes. Our problems are His opportunities. Our extremities are His possibilities. Amen? And so God can do anything, but it begins with a problem. And then look what it goes on to say, that this Mary, just clarifying, this Mary whose brother Lazarus now lay sick was the same who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So they had a relationship. There's a relationship there. They were friends. They knew each other. And so then verse 3 says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And interestingly there, look at how they appealed to Him. They said, Lord, the one that you love is sick. So they appealed to Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but they appealed to Jesus by Jesus' love for Lazarus, not Lazarus' love for Jesus. And that's important information. So you would think, so well, Lazarus loves you, so therefore, since he loves you, the motivation would be because he loves you, Jesus, you need to respond to him. But no, though they appealed to him because of Jesus' love for Lazarus. Here's what I want us to see, and that is the thing that moves God's heart the most is God. And you think, well, that should be us, but yet, no, it's not based, what I'm trying to show you here is it's not based on who you are, but it's based on who he is. So in other words, if you haven't experienced a miracle and you need a miracle in your life, it's not because of your lack of performance in some area of your life or lack of measuring up in some area of your life. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who he is. Isn't that good news? Because here's the message and all that. God loves you. And what he's done for one, he'll do for another. There is no secret to what God can do. He is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. So you are a bonafide, certified candidate for a miracle. Amen? So it goes on to say that the one that you love is sick. And then when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so God's Son may be glorified through it. So he was saying, okay, he's sick, but God had something more in mind than just this miracle, but God had the big picture in mind of God receiving the glory. He had a big picture that in 2018, we're here at this church talking about this story, that this story was going to communicate to us a message that God was a God of power and God was a God of miracles and there's nothing impossible for God. So I want us to think about this setting here. You know, when we think about a funeral, which is where this thing leads to, and I've done some funerals. Sometimes there's more dead people attending the funeral than the dead person. You know what I mean? I don't know why that's that way. But when you start talking to some people, there's people that dreams have died. And marriages are died or have died or are dead or dying or in the process of dying. Or someone's purpose where they once had a great purpose for their life, but now they're not so sure. Or there's relationships that are dead or dying. Sometimes we're emotionally dead or we're discouraged and we get into this spiral of death that I want to present to you as the death trap that happens at times in life. And we begin to spiral into this death trap. I want to show you a picture that would help illustrate what I'm trying to explain to you. Anybody ever heard of the Venus flytrap? Venus flytrap, here's a picture of it. And insects will come along, and how this works is that insects, so they see that red, and it's kind of appealing, and they fly into that area there. But what happens is you can't see it as real fine, but there's some hairs there that when they fly in there, they trigger these hairs. And when those hairs get triggered, that Venus flytrap just closes up, traps them in the death trap. And then the process of death begins. You know, there's some things in our life sometimes, if we're not careful, that trigger us into this death trap, and it begin that process of death happening in our life. I want to share that with you. In fact, look at John chapter 11, verse 6. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, look at what Jesus did. He stayed where he was 2 more days. I want to show you some steps that happened in the death trap. Didn't make much sense why he would stay there 2 more days when Lazarus was sick. And yet at the point, even at death, he lingered, he delayed. Here's the first step that we get triggered sometimes in falling into this death trap. And that is, first of all, write this down, we don't understand how God works. We just don't understand. And so, you know, you might say things like this, God, I'm not sure if you're aware, but this right here would be a great place for you to show yourself strong right now. You're missing a great opportunity right here, God, if you would just hurry up, show up, and do this thing that I need you to do. And we think according to our timeline. And we think, God, you know, you're just so delayed. Why are you so slow? But understand this, Jesus had a different perspective. And he had a divine strategy. A divine strategy so that when all is said and done, when God is finished with all this, that we'll look back and see he really knew what he was doing. But at the time when we're in it, we do not understand. I was sharing before church with a group of people about how the children of Israel, when they were brought out of bondage and out of Egypt, that they were there at the water's edge, trapped between a sea and Pharaoh's army coming to destroy them, and all they could do was say, I don't understand, God. You brought us all the way out here to kill us. What are you doing? But yet what they couldn't see, there was a higher perspective. There was some of a divine plan going on, and God was getting ready to demonstrate his power to them, deliver them over on dry land as he parted the sea, and destroy the enemy that was chasing them and take care of them. Come on. Sometimes we just don't see, and we look at the immediate, but I'm telling you, God has a plan. We just don't understand. And so Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples. Look at verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And then he said, but I am going there to wake him up. Look at verse 12. His disciples then replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. They didn't understand. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural death. So the disciples did not understand. And this is what we would say oftentimes. Is that I hear what you say, but then I see what I see. And it doesn't seem, Lord, what you say lines up with what I see. And so we don't understand. Another thing that triggers us, number two, write this down. We get consumed with doubt. Let me show it to you. We get consumed with doubt. John chapter 11, verse 16, then Thomas, called Didymus, which that's the doubting Thomas, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. As they didn't understand where he was going back to and didn't understand the threat and what lied ahead, but yet all they could see was the dangers that lied ahead. And yet, here was doubting Thomas saying, well, have you ever met these kind of people? It's kind of an Eeyore type of personality. You know who Eeyore is? Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, all those guys, Tigger. Well, Eeyore was the one that always was just, you know, glad you noticed me. You know, I don't want to be a bother. I'm just glad you noticed me. You know, he was just, and here was Doubting Thomas. Can you kind of hear this in his voice? Now, I used to hear this as, oh, he was just ready to go die with Jesus. But maybe it was this, I think it was this negative kind of, it's not going to turn out well. Let's just go die. Let's just, it's the end. If it's over, it's over. Let's just go. And that's what he said. He said, let's just go die with him. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we fall into that trap. We get consumed with doubt. And when we go through something, this place of doubt, we need to understand what is important to do at that point. And many times we surround ourselves with other doubters. We, you know, misery enjoys company. So we find somebody else that's going to chime in with us on the negativity and the doubting. But what we really need to do is surround ourselves with some people of faith that are positive, that believe God and believe his word and is going to stand with you. Amen. For his word. Amen. I remember talking to a lady many years ago who all she talked about was death. You know, I just believe that, you know, his father died about this age. I guess my husband's about to die, and we just kind of sense it's in that season, and he's going to die. And of course, I'm her pastor, and I'm like, no. We're going to speak life in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm not going to hang around you and join in on that. We're going to speak life. I'm going to declare life. I'm going to speak health. I'm going to speak healing in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard of one guy that was visited in a hospital by a pastor and an associate, and he was dying of cancer. And they came in there, and they were trying to be comforting and trying to accept the inevitable, and they were consoling him and trying to just speak peace in his life. And he looked at them, and he rebuked the pastor and his associate, saying, did y'all come here to pray for me or not? Did y'all come to believe for my healing or not? Because I'm believing I'm going to be healed. Well, he just trusted God. And they said, okay, they had to get with it. And so they said, all right, let's pray. And they prayed and believed. And that guy came out of there. God healed him, lived many years. So I'm just saying, you need to surround yourself by people of faith who believe God and don't be consumed with doubt. Surround yourself with believers. Number three thing that happens is this is a tragic thing. We give up on God. We give up on God. So we get discouraged, and discouragement leads to depression, and depression leads to defeat, and then we experience this thing of hopelessness. Hopelessness is a sad state to be in. Look at John chapter 11, verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. 4 days. Now, let me just pause right there, because in Jewish burial custom, it was believed that a soul of a person would hover over a body for 3 days. So see, God was doing something. I just love it. I just love it. He wanted to demonstrate himself. It's like when God brought Israel out of bondage. Why did he do all those plagues? Because for every plague, there was an idol God that he wanted to defeat and demonstrate that he was the true God and he was greater. He wanted to demonstrate that 4 days, well, there was no chance of him coming back, but God had something in mind. Amen. I love that. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But look at this. But Mary stayed home. So Martha and Mary had two different responses. Martha showed up, but Mary gave up. Mary stayed home. It's over. It's too late. What difference does it make? He didn't get here in time. I didn't get my miracle. He's dead. What difference does it make? And she gave up. And I just want to speak to people who feel like it's 4 days, who feels like maybe your marriage is at a 4-day death sentence. Come on, that maybe your job is so bad it's a 4-day situation. It's too late. It's too far gone. Or my finances it's in the 4th day of death. Or you've got the news from the doctor and you say it's day 4. It's over. It's too late. Can I tell you, it's never too late with God. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and that's this: what in my life is dead or dying? What in my life? So what is it in your life that's either dead or it's in the process of dying? And I think we need to identify that is. And whatever it is, that's either dead or dying in your life. I want to give you a statement. And I'm going to say this. This sickness is not to death. This sickness, listen to this. This sickness is not unto death. And the reason I can say that is that death is not final, okay? There's different, so let me break that down for you. Look at this, let's talk about this. The miracle of Jesus. So in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus responds to this situation of death, and I love it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is an Easter message 2 weeks out, okay? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So Easter is not just an event. Easter is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, look at this, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked the question that I've got to ask all of us. Do you believe this? So number one, how do we experience this miracle? First of all, we must settle in our heart who Jesus is. Write that down. Mary was one that, or Martha was the one who never gave up. She believed, and I'll show it to you. In John chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that's facing reality. That's facing how things are. But then she takes it a step further and engages some faith. She says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask, whatever you ask. And then verse 27, let me share this with you. Martha said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Now that word Christ means anointed one. It means the one that has all power. It's the one that has power over every situation and every circumstance of your life. She acknowledged that he is the anointed one, the Christ who is able. Martha had settled in her heart who Jesus was. Amen? And listen to this. Here's what she settled. She settled that what she wanted, she wanted a different outcome. Let's put it this way. She wanted a different outcome. She did not want her brother to die. But here's what I want us to see. She had an expectancy of God, not just an expectation. And this is good teaching right here. Write this down. She had an expectancy of God, not just an expectation. Our expectation is like this. We have an expectation and we say, okay, God, this is the situation and this is how I want you to respond. And here's what we do when we do that. Now I'm telling you, this is good stuff we need to receive. Listen to this. When we do that, when we say, God, this is the situation, I've already figured out this is the answer I want, and this is how I need you to respond, it puts God in a box. And then when our expectation doesn't get met, we begin to lose hope. And here's the thing: our hope doesn't need to be in the outcome. Our hope needs to be in the one who holds the outcome. And that's what Martha had figured out. I'm going to give you that verse again that we just shared with you. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, even if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But, look at this, but I know. I just accented that. I want you to see that. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She had settled it in her heart. So her hope was not in the outcome of her hope, but it was rather in the one who would bring the outcome. She had an expectancy of God. There's a difference. That's important. And I'm just going to pause right there, because as I've pastored over the many years, I have seen people who get disappointed because they have an expectation for their outcome instead of having, come on, an understanding of who God is and having expectancy of who he is. God is not just a what, he's a who. I was burdened this morning in prayer, and that this message, the heart of this message is that we understand who Jesus is, who he is. So this miracle we're talking about is a miracle of somebody being raised from the dead, but that's not the biggest miracle. The miracle is discovering who Jesus is. Jesus is the miracle. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So our expectation is not on what we want. Our expectancy is upon who he is. He is a God that doesn't disappoint. And even when we don't understand it, he still has the big picture, and he loves us, and he's working all things together for our good. Amen? So we look to him. My prayer in this message, the heart of this, is that we'll experience who he is. Number two, stop analyzing everything. And some of us are wired that way. We got to figure it all out. We got to get the calculator. Come on, that's what happened to me when I met with the doctor. He started sharing with me, you know, this, oh, this is going to happen, and this valve may not last that long. And then, well, it's no big deal. We'll just kick it out and put a new one in. And I'm sitting there, my calculator's going, I'm counting years. I'm like, okay, I'll be this old when this happens, and then if he does another one, I'll be how old? You know, I'm calculating. We calculate things, and we want to analyze things, and we think, well, if I take this step and that step, and let me tell you, if we follow our mind and our feelings, will lie to us. What we need is a faith that we can follow. We can't follow. We need to follow and operate in our faith, because here's why. Our mind is not even in God's league. And I love, you know why I love that? That's encouraging to me, because there's a lot of intellectual minds. And if God just chose to work through our intellectual minds, you know, that would have left me out. But everybody has faith, and to everybody he's given a measure of faith, and it's so equal. No matter who you are, where you are, where you come from, we all have been given this measure of faith that we can use and understand who he is, not have to understand him through the mind, but know him through the heart. So we stop analyzing everything and operate in faith. John 11, 38, 39, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Look at the next verse. Take away the stone, he said. And then look at the response. Martha, she's believing, but now she's analyzing. She's saying, okay, but Lord, this is getting a little bit weird. The sister of the dead man, she said, by now there's a bad odor. My brother's going to stink. He's not going to smell good. He's been in there 4 days. So she starts to analyze the situation. And what we need to do is settle, honestly, who Jesus is. And we may not understand everything he's doing, but we must understand who he is. Number three, look at this. Start living again. And I hope that you can put a star by this one. Start living again. I love what John Maxwell said. He said, I've decided I'm going to live until I die. You know, some of us, we get bad news, and we just start dying. Before we're even dead, we're dead years before we die. Come on, we're going to live. We're going to live in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus has come that we might experience life and life to the full. Look at verse 43. Jesus called in a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. There may be a lot of things that are dying in our life, but here's the thing I want you to see this morning. That is that God wants to do a miracle inside of you. Now, I've always heard it preached this way, that when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he had to say Lazarus, because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody would have come forth. And I've heard it said that he had, you know, Lazarus, once he's declared Lazarus, come forth, he had to come forth. And I agree with that theologically, but here's another thought in that. Just consider this. Could it be that Lazarus had a choice in the matter? I'm not sure. But here's what I want to declare to you in saying that, is that Lazarus, if you look at it that way, he had a choice whether to be defined by death and stay in the tomb or to come out and be defined by life. And I just want to say to you this morning, I don't know what situation you may be in. It may be related to your marriage. It may be related to your finances or your job or your health or whatever it is. But we have a choice to make as to whether we're going to stay in that thing that defines us, that defines us as in a place of death, or we're going to come out and be defined by life. So we need to make some choices this morning to get out of that place and to make some steps and start living. Amen. Don't just stay in a place of depression and be defeated and be destroyed, but we're going to experience life and come out and live life. Amen. So for some of you, that may be taking a step and getting into a small group and getting some freedom and getting in some relationship and start getting some help. Come on, you need help in your marriage. Get into a group that will help you with your marriage. Get around some people that are going to speak life into you. If you don't know your purpose and your purpose has kind of died and you don't know why you're here and it's just like everything's dying. Listen, get on the growth track. Join it today. Today would be awesome. Step three, where we're going to help you discover your purpose. Get in the growth track. But make some steps, make some decisions. And here's the thing. We want to I want to stress this point, and that is that we need to come alive spiritually. The greatest resurrection you can experience is to come alive spiritually. And the greatest death you can experience is to die spiritually. The greatest miracle of all is to have spiritual life. Amen? I want to give you a picture just to help illustrate this. Everybody's ever heard of the Death Valley? Death Valley in California? Death Valley, we've all heard of that. Death Valley, they say that it's one of the driest and hottest places on the earth. The average rainfall is about 2 inches per year. It's so dry that nothing really grows there. It's void of life. Look at that. It's just like, I mean, the ground is just cracked up. It's dry. It's barren. It's dead. And I don't know whether in your situation that's a picture of where you are spiritually or in some area of your life where it's just dead and it's dry and void of life. But something miraculous happened in the year 2005, and it was called the Super Bloom of 2005. And once you look at this same area and look what happened, isn't that amazing? Is that amazing? Let me show you another. Look at that. Isn't it amazing? Wildflowers just came up in an area that was considered Death Valley. Those that were working with all that and discovering all that happening and exploring it, Sir Ken Robinson that was working with that made this statement. He said, "This event proves that Death Valley is not dead. It's just dormant." And he said, "Right beneath the surface are the seeds of possibilities just waiting for the right conditions." I just want to speak to somebody whose marriage you think is dormant or dead, or your finances you think is dead, and everything is dead around you. Listen, there are seeds of possibilities right below the surface. And what we're doing around here is we are praying and we're believing, and by the help of God, creating an atmosphere of the right conditions and believing that with God's help and God's supernatural power, He's able to resurrect what looks like to be dead, but will live. Come on, somebody. Like the valley of dry bones, it can live again. Amen. Amen. I just feel like preaching here today. Amen. So we're believing that conditions are right for a miracle. I want you to write this down there in your notes. Instead of believing what I see, I choose to believe what Jesus said. And it is a choice. Instead of believing what I see, I choose to believe what Jesus said. It reminds me of a scripture. It said, "I would have fainted. I would have failed. In other words, I would have died. I would have been in this death trap unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That's a faith statement. Not that he saw it, not necessarily he saw it that easily, but he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to encourage us today that you believe to see and know that there is a God who loves you, a God who's for you, a God who wants to resurrect hope again, resurrect you out of that place of a death trap and experience life. Death is not final. Jesus has taken the sting out of death. Come on, and the curse out of the... He's declared victory. Amen? He is the resurrection and the life. Man, I just feel a boldness right now to speak into somebody's life and just to tell you, God's not finished and it's not over. And God is never too late. And he's going to do amazing things. Come on, we're believing for the miraculous, amen? He's going to do the miraculous in Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow your heads with me today? I just want to say again, the greatest miracle is when we experience spiritual life. When God comes and he causes us to live again spiritually. Bible even describes when we're away from him, we're dead in our trespasses. We're not experiencing life. He is life. When we're separated from him, the result of that is death. We're not really living. We may be existing and going through the motions, but the life is not there. The passion is not there. The joy is not there. The life is not there. But Jesus comes and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And here's the thing. You're only one, no matter how far you've gone, you're only one step away from coming back to a right relationship with Jesus. And it's simply by coming and surrendering and saying, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you. And if that's you today, whether this is your first time doing this or you've allowed life to pull you away and you know you're not where you need to be, but you need to come back today. I want to lead you in a prayer today. I'd love to lead you in this. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I just want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. And if you're watching online, I hope that you'll join us if you need to pray this. That's you today. I need to experience life. I want to come out of the tomb. I want to experience life again. I want to pray with you. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, when you do that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand and you could put it right back down? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Good job. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Great job. So proud of you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Hands are going up. All right. Well, let me just lead you in this prayer. And I'm just going to help you with the words. Listen, all you got to do is mean it. Okay? This is your prayer. I'm just helping you with the words. But right where you're seated, and whether you raised your hand or didn't, but you know you need to pray this prayer. Would you pray this with me? In fact, can I have everybody just kind of pray this out loud just for support of those that need to pray it? Pray something like this. Today, God, I thank you for offering me life. Forgive me for going my way, making mistakes. I'm asking you to forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me to offer me life. I accept that life now. I invite you to come into my heart and make me brand new. Today I surrender my life and I declare you as Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I don't look back. I look forward and I will follow you as you help me. Thank you, God, for making me brand new this very moment in Jesus' name. God, by faith, I thank you for those who just prayed that prayer. I thank you, Lord, that by faith they prayed that prayer and you have come into their life and this moment they're brand new. I thank you for this. They're making the best decisions of their life in this very moment. And God, as we make one step towards you, God, you come and you live inside of us and everything begins to change and you bring forth life. I thank you for that today. Lord, I pray that God, in every situation, over marriages, over finances, over job, people that are concerned about their future and maybe even some that are even concerned about their past. God, I thank you that you have settled the past and you, O Lord, have declared this day that with you all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for you. Lord, no matter how long it's been that way, no matter how long it's been dead, no matter how long, God, we thank you for a new life. We declare it, Lord, in your people today. We give you praise and honor for all that you're doing. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.